Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
This warning from a leading British cybersecurity expert that just 20 images of a child are needed to create a deep fake version of their identity, including a video, has raised concerns about just how much information parents are sharing about their children. And research showed that people with children under the age of 16 upload an average of 63 images a week. 60% of those pictures are family photographs. Well, I'm joined now in the studio by Mick Moran, who's the CEO of Hotline.ie. Hello, Mick.
Good morning, Claire.
I suppose it's no harm for all of us to be reminded of safety and security around posting pictures of children online. But this research, it's from Professor Karsten Maple at the University of Warwick in England, saying that parents are unwittingly opening their children up to possible exploitation by criminals who want to use their data for their own purposes. What are we talking about? What kind of stuff are we talking about?
Well, you know, modern technology now with AI and everything else and generative models, large language models and multimodal models of AI can be used to use those images to create lifelike images, lifelike movies of your child if they have. And his idea that there's 20 images now, we would have thought, you know, the more information AI has, the better the results at the end of it. He's saying 20. I'm not going to question an academic of his standing. He says 20 images is all is needed. You know, that's eventually going to get down to one image, you know, as AI gets stronger and more.
Are you saying that the thinking before this research came out was that you needed many more or less?
Yeah, but the better the quality of the information going in, the better the quality and information coming out. So they're called large language models because they needed large data sets to ingest before they could give you out and answer you in a human manner. About all, because they are ultimately their only computer programs that associate, that take what they're given and mix it around, if you like, to give you out what you get.
So what are we worried about when we hear about possible exploitation by criminals?
So absolutely, you know, the big worry is always that, you know, these AI models will be used to create CSAM, to create sexually explicit images of children and children involved in sex acts. And so the possibility and the danger, I mean, we've already seen in the past images of innocent images that kids themselves are posting or their parents are posting being used, say, for example, in advertising pornography sites. Mm-hmm. We've seen that before. We've had that argument before. In this case, however, giving a certain data set of images, 20 in Professor Carson's case here, he's saying 20 of them, will allow you to produce an unlimited amount in any scenario of that child.
Right.
And that's one aspect of it. I mean, you know, the deepfakes could also be used in fraud or in deception or in scams or in, you know. And then you have to, you know, be aware that your data is being used to train these models, et cetera, et cetera. And fundamentally, any information you share online can be used in ways you never intended. And you need to be aware of that. And therefore, you shouldn't be sharing publicly.
Mm. The other aspect of this, of course, as well, that if your child reaches adulthood, this is just a very basic thing, and they turn to you and they say, why did you share my images when I was a baby and a toddler and a child? On a very basic level, we need to be careful of that, don't we?
We absolutely do. And one of the things, one of the traps within, say, you would imagine that data protection rules would mean that those images couldn't be used. But if you're sharing them publicly, that expectation of privacy is gone. Mm-hmm. And the thing about a tricky thing that the companies do, not all of them, but some of them, is that they see it as implicit consent. So if you're an adult and you share a picture, if a picture of a child is there, they have to be careful of it. It attracts different rules under data protection. However, if you're a parent and you share a picture of your child or another child, it is deemed to be implicit consent from the parent that transfers to the child, and therefore they can use the image.
For what?
Well, to train large language models, to train other data sets, to train algorithms, all that sort of stuff. They can use the images for all of that sort of thing. It's very unlikely, it's very rare that they'll turn up in an advertisement or that they'll be used in a kind of, you know, publicly open way, but it'll be used as data is now used. And I wouldn't have any fear, say, for example, for the likes of Google or Meta. I wouldn't have any. They're well regulated and they're well watched, especially in relation to data. But it's the shadow brokers. It's the huge amount of, I don't know if you've ever gone in to have a look at when you're being asked for your cookie consent. If you go in and look at the, you know, hundreds, 176 partners that they have. These are all data brokers who are buying and selling data about you, about your profile, to advertisers, to people trying to make new products, to, you know, it's an infinite amount of uses, and it's not twee to say that data is the new gold. So I mean, it's a commodity.
It's sold and bought. Certainly is. But when you are talking about sharing images, you mentioned sharing publicly.
Yes.
Now there'll be people who are members of clubs, and they might be part of a private group on, say, Facebook or Instagram. Is that safe? Is that private?
Absolutely safe. And you know, it's important that this type of discussion, which is a legitimate discussion around nefarious use of images, making CSAM in fraud,
which is,
or whatever.
Child sexual abuse material.
Child sexual abuse material, or AKA, also known as child pornography within the law. When you talk about that, it's important that that's not used to panic parents and to say, don't be sharing your pictures of your children online, which I have heard some commentators saying. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Absolutely share your pictures. You know, I have a daughter in Australia. I send pictures, you know, I'm sharing pictures with her all the time. With, you know, we all have people abroad. You know, there's absolutely zero problem with sharing on Facebook or Instagram or anything else, as long as you are limiting who can see it. And you have settings there to do it. And that's, again, we're back to the safety by design. All of that should be turned on by default. But it's not.
You have to go in and do it yourself.
Yeah, you have to go in and do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's the trap that people are falling
into. And we should include WhatsApp in that, because that's encrypted, right?
But WhatsApp is not the same, say, as Instagram, or because it's only very recently that you can share publicly on WhatsApp. It's only very recently. So it will become, now that they have communities functionality.
Yes.
What they're doing is they're adding to it, and it will, WhatsApp eventually will have your social media will be in there too.
Now, I will have people, I would imagine, well, I'm thinking this, you know, you're in a group, let's say it's a WhatsApp group or it's a Facebook group or whatever, and it's all private, you've have your settings the way they should be.
Yes.
But you're still at risk of your child's image being screenshotted by somebody, aren't you?
Or saved to their device
and
then shared elsewhere. Yes, of course you are. You absolutely are. And that's just the rules of the group. But it depends on what type of group you're in, you know, as to what expectation of privacy you would have.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you're in a group with your pals, it's very unlikely anyone is there. But if you're sharing it in a parenting group or whatever, where you know, parents of many schools are in it, you don't know them all, you don't know them. You know, it's the advice we give to kids all the time. Know the person in real life before you call them a friend online. It's the same thing for adults.
For parents.
Yeah. Be concerned, you know, be considerate of the fact that there could be people who have nefarious purposes in the background, who will be maybe saving these images. And if you're sharing a lot of images of your child, well, then there's a nice, cute and boxed off data set that could be used to train a large language AI model to produce more of that child. So the result being, or to mix and match with perhaps some pornography to produce that child's, the child featuring in the pornography. So
are there any laws against that?
Yes, well, like CSAM and child pornography is illegal under the Child Trafficking and Pornography Act of 1998. So it is illegal to possess it, regardless of whether it's made by AI or not. What I'd be calling on the government to do here and the minister here would be to make it illegal to possess or to make an engine or to train an AI engine that will produce CSAM. That's not illegal. So what you put into it, it might be illegal. What comes out of it might be illegal.
But the act of doing it
is not necessarily illegal. So you could have a situation where a computer scientist could create a large language model, which he can then sell, which is capable of producing CSAM, child pornography, but it is not actually, there's none in it.
So, and the computer scientist is not guilty of anything.
Correct.
Because they have built that Correct. Model. But that would be, and I would imagine, a fairly straightforward piece of legislation to put together.
I mean, our government and all governments right now are ahead at this moment in time. Now, the growth of AI and the AI revolution we're currently living through is exponential. So it's going to be very, very, moving very, very fast. But governments are paying heed to this. How do we ensure that AI is only used for good? And I think this is an easy win, is to make sure that AI can't be used to create CSAM. And most of the big people like ChatGPT, Grok, all of these big AI engines, they won't allow you to create CSAM. But it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that a young fella, computer scientist working in his bedroom, couldn't produce a model and train it to produce CSAM and then make it available for sale. Without him creating any offence.
Just going back to where we started, the 20 images and the creation of the deepfake. Are you seeing deepfakes in your work at Hotline?
We are seeing AI-generated CSAM, yes. And we are very nervous about the potential for it, because once these engines start to be used, they're going to produce massive amounts of illegal material. And those massive amounts of illegal material will very quickly overwhelm the resources currently working on it at Hotline, on Garda Síochána, or anywhere else where we're working on it. So it'll be very quickly, and it then will start to appear on the web and on the general regular public internet, out of the dark nets, if you like. And then suddenly now you're creating this environment in which people are being encouraged, because look, it's there. And if it's there, what's wrong with it? What harm can it be? And it's AI generated, so there's no child being abused. But what it is doing is encouraging the abuse of children,
of
essentially.
And you use AI when you're going into schools to talk to children about what can happen, right?
Yes, of course. It's easy. And I did a talk in Boyle, County Roscommon, there for the local community guards and the ISPCC, and we did a talk for parents. And in order to give a demonstration of that, I wanted to say, look, you wouldn't let your child wander out on the street alone. So on my mobile phone, on my smartphone, I produced a 7-second video using Google's AI. It took a minute or two to render. And I produced a picture of a baby walking through traffic.
So you put that in as an AI search?
I put it in as text in a prompt.
Yeah.
Please produce a video of a child walking in traffic and members of the public taking photographs of the child from this sidewalk.
And you got
and
all
I
of those
got,
images.
2 minutes later, I got a movie, a 7-second clip of a very realistic child wandering through, and I told to have it holding a toy. And I got a very realistic of a video of a child walking up through the street.
Just thinking about the investigations that we hear about, where investigators are trying to trace the victims of child sexual abuse.
Correct.
How difficult is that job going to be now with AI generated images?
Very. And it's going, and like I said to you, it's going to flood with red herrings, because we're going to be looking for children that don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of the big models are talking about putting watermarking and things like that so that you'll know they're AI generated. And that's what I'm talking about, of course, is the edge case. This is the extremes, you know, the production of CSAM from a trained model. So it's trained on pictures of the child next door, for example. And then it produces that child next door, realistic, 100% 4K style, high definition videos of that child involved in sex acts. That is the easiest actual thing in the world to do.
Mm-hmm. And the most terrifying.
It is. And it is. And it needs action. And it's an easy win, I think, for governments around the world. It's an easy win to just make it very clear to the large companies, you cannot allow CSAM to be produced, which is already done by themselves. They're already self-regulating that themselves.
Yes.
The big ones.
But as you say,
the smaller ones and the fact that these can be made available for sale.
Right. Mick, always good to talk to you.
Great.
Thank you very much. Mick Moran from hotline.ie, and you can go there for more information. Now, later on, Dr. Shane Bergen is going to take us through the fascinating science of the tiny things that make up our universe. But next, should juries be abolished in defamation cases? We'll debate.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.